When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
It is very easy to get breast implants. I don't know why. Of course they made that easy. But to get a breast reduction, the way to make it look natural, not that many doctors that can do that easily. To me, seems barbaric in 2025. It's a wild surgery that like some people get right, some people don't. The fact that I'm just trying to make my boobies little and there's so many different like medical improvements to do other types of surgery. It seems with the breast reduction we're doing, I mean, maybe that's the only way to do it, but it just seemed like a wild type of surgery and extremely intrusive and just crazy to me the way that they did it, even now in 2025, and that there's no other way to do it. That's just, everybody does it that same way.
This is That Twin Mama Podcast. But hey, you don't have to be a twin mom to be here. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. So whether you are new, soon to be, or seasoned parent, or maybe you just hope to have kids someday, I promise you'll find something to love, learn from, or laugh at in each episode. I'm your host, Lauren Birdie. Let's do it.
Let's get into it. My husband's in the studio today. He has been a large part of this process. Hi, babe.
Hi.
Which we'll get into because you cannot get a breast reduction and be alone without somebody to help take care of you. But we'll get into that later. So first, I want to like address some questions. I took a poll and a lot of y'all had a ton of questions. And one main one was why did I do this? Why did I decide to get a breast reduction? What was like, your boobs look fine. Like, why would you do that? And a lot of men had a lot of issues with it. That's another, we'll get into that a little bit later. But basically I have had boobs since I was 9. Like I was the first girl and I remember fourth grade to have a bra. It was embarrassing because I didn't wear a bra. And I remember my teacher pulling me to the side. It was a female teacher or a woman teacher. And she was like, you need to start wearing a bra. And so I did. And then like everybody was making fun of me. Well, all the little boys were really probably, who knows what the psychology is around that. But I was really embarrassed that I had boobs. I would wear like sports bras, double sports bras, baggy shirts. I just never really wanted attention on them ever since I was young. And then high school, I had really big boobs again, which a lot of you will say, oh my gosh, poor you. But I think you only truly understand if you have had them for a really long time. And some women embrace them, like here's like kudos. I think I just had some insecurities I hadn't dealt with. I was already othered in my high school. Like I was one of very few Black girls. And so the boobs just sexualized me more. There's probably so many layers to that. But yeah, I didn't like them in high school either. I wanted a breast reduction since high school. Then fast forward to being pregnant. And a lot of people think that breastfeeding actually changes your boobs a lot, which I think it does. But honestly, once you become pregnant, your boobs start to do all these sorts of things. So hormones are pumping. So my boobs like blew up even more just through my first pregnancy. And then breastfed my first son for almost a year. Then I had twins and breastfed them both for 8 months. So all to say, I feel like since a very young age, my boobs were something that I was trying to hide or wasn't really mine. I felt like it was like for attention. Like they were not that they were for attention, but like their purpose was for male gaze or other people. Then I had kids and my boobs weren't really mine. They were really for my kids, which was fine. I love what they were able to do. I love that they were able to breastfeed. But then finally, when I was done with all the things, and like, as you all know or may know that my husband has a vasectomy, we are not having any more kids, right? That's why I got my tummy tuck. Go back to that episode if you want to learn about that. But this is another way of reclaiming my body back. And yeah, so that's kind of why I did it. And also, it's not just because of, when I say big boobs, they were also causing me physical pain. Like I have back problems, neck problems. Just, I like to be active and I really couldn't do a lot of things with the size of my chest. I hit it really well. I think people didn't realize the size of my chest, but one was a G or something. Like she was like weighing them on whatever weight. When you go to the doctor and decide you're going to do this, they start weighing each breast. One would be like, I think around a G if I put it in a bra, and the other one was around a D or maybe double D. Anyways, there were massively different sizes. One was almost twice the size of the other one and just like was a lot of weight, just a lot to carry. Like it physically was something that I dealt with every day. I didn't ever not know what it was like to have not a ton of weight or like conscious of my breasts at all times. When I found out there were some people that went to bed with no bra, I was like, wait, what? You can do that and it doesn't like hurt? Like you can walk around like that? You're not physically feeling them? So I was one of those girls that had that. So I think for the power, like bringing my power back and like, this is my body, I can do it to my, I can finally do it. It's no longer anybody else's. Plus the actual physical toll it was taking on me. That is the reason why your girl did it. And I think that a conversation I had, and maybe we can link it down below, but I had Jess King, who is a Peloton instructor, on my podcast last season. And it was the first time it was an exclusive. She dropped on the podcast that she had a breast reduction. A lot of people were speculating that she had or didn't have. And she decided to divulge to the public on my podcast that she did. And I was like really excited to know more just because I'd not met anyone or talked to anyone about a breast reduction. And the way she described it, it was like the weight that she had described it being lifted. She was also a big girl, like a big boobie girly for her whole life. And the attention that she just didn't want around her boobs, it just resonated so much with me. And I was like, okay, after that podcast, I started doing my research. And that was probably the catalyst where I was like, yo, say less. Okay. I was in my mind about it. Do I want to do this? Do I want to, like, I've had plastic surgery before. I've had a tummy tuck. I know how much is involved with doing anything like that. Like the emotional stress, the anesthesia, the going under, the like the care that is needed after. I was like, is it worth it? Yo, when I talked with her, I was like, okay, say less. And that's when I like literally made a consultation call and started, this is the thing. And I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but if dudes have boobs or had them, there would be insurance covering it for everything. Like you wouldn't have to prove that you had back pain or anything like that. But when it comes to women saying they are having issues with women things, whether it be diastasis recti or perimenopause symptoms, menopause symptoms, big boob problems, they don't care. They literally don't care. Nobody gives a fuck. They're just like, okay, just deal with it, whatever. Like it literally is just figure it out. You're living, you're lucky to have them, goodbye. So what I realize, and my insurance is with Kaiser, I don't know if every insurance is the same, but for me, because I wasn't obese or obviously needed like a bunch of things done with the size of my boobs, I think if you're like really, really large boobs, like maybe like, I don't know, ends or something like that, or like overweight and like extremely overweight where there is obviously a medical need, like they won't make you prove it as much. But for me, even though I had back pain, even though I had these, there's like indentations that you get when you have really big boobs and wear bras all the time. Like my doctor looked at that. She's like, oh, you do have this. So they looked at my bra straps, like the indentations on my shoulders. They checked out my back pain and alignment. She's like, yeah, it does look like you are having issues. They also talked about how the size of what my breasts were, like compared to my size, was heavy. They're like, okay, but now you have to take a year of physical therapy to prove that it can't get better. I'm like, bruh, what? Like, I'm active. I work out. I'm a healthy person. What is physical therapy going to do? Like, and after a year, like, who knows where I'm going to be in life? Like, who knows if I'll have like the care I'll need afterward. My husband was home for a while. So I knew like, so that's what they wanted me to do to prove that I needed a breast reduction for them to take it out. And I wasn't about to do that. I was like, you know what? I found the surgeon I wanted. She wasn't covered under my Kaiser, which is another thing. Like with breast reduction surgery, just like you do with any type of surgery or any plastic surgery, you want to find the right doctor. When I tell y'all, not every breast reduction is made equally, I did my research. Like sometimes you'll see them and they look kind of like squares or they look odd to that person's body. It is very easy to get breast implants. It is, I don't know why. Of course they made that easy. Of course dudes made that easy to get breast implants. Anyways, so I'm sorry for yelling. But to get a breast reduction, the way to make it look natural, there is not that many doctors that can do that easily. So I found a woman that does only breast reductions. And I think she does facelifts too, but she is a girl that you go to when your other surgeon messed up your breast reduction. Everybody goes to her, right? So I already knew I wanted her. So I don't even know if insurance would have covered it. I would have been like, okay, I'm going to find a doctor within my insurance because I won't be trusting everybody, not with my body. Okay. That wasn't supposed to be like everybody with my body, but I feel like that could be a song. Anyways, so I went to Dr. Suh, highly recommend her. She's in the Fairfax, Virginia, like area. And she was the one that was telling me, yeah, Kaiser and most insurances at your body type are not going to want to cover you unless you prove after a year and get signed off by multiple doctors that that this is needed. And so that's when I was like, okay, forget it. I'm going to go with her. I thought that a breast reduction surgery wouldn't be as invasive too. Like if you get an implant, it's kind of like you put one in. I've never had them, but there's a recovery process. It's not as easy as people make it. You're putting something foreign in your body and you're healing from that. That's like wild, right? To get an explant though, when you get that taken out, isn't as invasive as a breast reduction. Because with a breast reduction, and maybe we can throw up, I had my doctor draw a picture of what the scars or like the incisions would look like not my actual breast, but just a picture so you all can kind of get a sense. But like they cut like almost like, babe, maybe help me with this. How would you describe the incisions? They cut like a W,
kind of like a W underneath.
Yeah, like a W underneath.
All underneath the bottom and then kind of like comes up to the nipple part.
Yeah.
Almost like a W.
And then that, so it spreads, it takes that and makes, how would you describe that? Like then those two flaps of the W are open and then you take the tissue out, right? And you move the tissue around. You take your nipple off, they sew it back together, and then they put the nipple back on. It's essentially kind of what happens, which to me seems barbaric in 2025. I'm like doing all of that. Like it's a wild surgery that like some people get right, some people don't. But I'm like, the fact that I'm just trying to make my boobies little, right? And there's so many different, like, I think improvements and medical improvements to do other types of surgery. It seems with the breast reduction, we're doing, I mean, maybe that's the only way to do it, but it just seemed like a wild type of surgery and extremely intrusive and just crazy to me the way that they did it, even now in 2025. And that there's no other way to do it. That's just, it's a blanket. Everybody does it that same way. Okay, so I'll get more into like what the scars look like and things later. I am still healing. At this time of this recording, I'm like a month out. So I have not gotten fully to the other side of things, but I'm at the point where I can tell you a lot. So the first part of the process, once I decided I'm going to get my breast reduction, I found my doctor and now we're on the way to do it. She is very thorough. She's board certified. So there was a couple of things that I needed to do before to make sure that I was a good candidate for surgery. One is like getting a physical, making sure that your heart, everything is okay to go under anesthesia and things like that. That's pretty standard for any type of plastic surgeon. Some don't make you do it, which that's kind of a red flag. If you're about to go and undergo like major surgery and your surgeon's like, okay, we'll just trust that you're good to go, I would push for a physical from your primary doctor just to make sure you're good to go. But I didn't realize I was going to have to get a mammogram. I don't think that every person that goes under breast reduction surgery does have to get a mammogram. However, my doctor required it, which I thought was, I guess, a good thing. I'd never gotten one. I'm 38 this year, and that's just not something I got before. So I had to get a mammogram. And when I got the mammogram, you know, I didn't know anything about a mammogram, right? So this is the first time I'm doing it. When I did do it, they first do like a pression, they put your boob and you put it in like a, I don't know, what do you call it? Like almost like a waffle press. It's not waffle, but it's in like a device where they smash your boobs basically and they take pictures, right? Like kind of x-ray thing. And that's like the first step. And then you review those results and then you go to the next step. So those results for me, my first mammogram came back and there was a spot. Okay, so I get to my primary. She's like, yeah, there's a spot on your left boob. We're going to need to do an ultrasound. And I was like, wait, what? Should I be worried? What is happening? Scared me to death, right? Already I'm nervous about going into breast reduction surgery. Now I'm dealing with there is a spot in my breast. I had never, like, this is my first mammogram, know nothing about it. And then she's like, yeah, it's, you know, we'll just see. The ultrasound will reveal what needs to happen. And so then I spent a few days after that just waiting and stressed out until I was able to get into my ultrasound appointment. And they got to the ultrasound appointment. They looked at what the spot was and ended up being like just a lymph node, like nothing that big of a deal. And they're like, oh, you're good. But what I didn't realize is that A, like 50%, if not 60% of people women have a spot on their breast when it's their first mammogram. Like it could be a cyst. It could be a lymph node. Like it's not abnormal to have a spot on your first mammogram. That means it's nothing. So my question was like, after this whole process I went through and how emotionally stressful it was, I'm like, why was that not communicated like from the jump? Like, oh, sis, you have a spot on your boob, but don't worry about it. Like mad people have that. You know what I mean? So it's probably nothing. So we just go and check it out on the ultrasound, boom, bam, and we'd be good. No, that's not how they talked. That's not how the doctors talked. And I was freaking out. And then I put it in my stories and all y'all were saying the same thing. Like, yeah, I had a spot. I was freaking out. Yeah, this, yeah, that. Or yeah, I had a spot and it was something huge, which I wish I had known before I turned 40, right? The fact that we're supposed to wait till 40 to get a mammogram in the first place is kind of wild. There really should be more earlier intervention. I feel like we should get them at 30. I don't know what the age would be, but 40 seems late. And a lot of times if you do have something and you wait till 40, it could be worse. Like, you know what I mean? So early intervention is better. Scaring yourself after your first mammogram should not be a thing that doctors do. So I just have a whole lot of thoughts about the mammogram process, but maybe we get that to another day. But yeah, y'all made me feel a lot better once I realized it was kind of like a standard practice to go through what I went through. And then I felt better and immediately pissed because I'm like, of course it'd be something that women go through because men don't. I don't mean to be such a man hater today. I don't know why. Sorry. I'm not. Okay. So the things that no one tells you about surgery going into it. So after, let's talk about the surgery. So got a mammogram, everything's cleared. I go into surgery, you know, you take the anesthesia, you go under, you know, there's fasting the night before. And then I wake up from it. It's pretty painful. It's similar to my tummy tuck. My tummy tuck waking up was a lot. I was in a lot more pain. This, I just kind of felt really sore and out of it. And I was able to go home. Like, it's like you go home after you kind of are at a point where the pain level is like manageable and they put you in a wheelchair and you go home. I think the difference here is that I did not realize I was going to have drains with breast reduction. I knew with a tummy tuck, that's very standard, but I did have drains with my breast reduction. Now, I don't know if everyone does. I think most surgeons do. It helps with the healing. It helps with the bruising. Honestly, every plastic surgeon I've talked to says they always recommend drains because it just makes the healing go smoother and your scars look better and your bruising looks better. And it doesn't ever hurt to have drains unless the person really doesn't want it. But it sucks. If you have drains, they suck. It limits your way to like your mobility. You have these like things attached to you that you are constantly, every few hours, like dumping out. You know, they're inside you. They attach them for your breast on like the side of your rib cage. And there's like a good, what did you say, babe? Like 5 or 6 inches of tube that's like inside. Like you don't realize, but it's pretty far in there. And then going to the bathroom, showering, everything is just more difficult. I will put a link below, which showering with drains sucks. I did it with my tummy tuck. I did it with the breast reduction. It's literally the worst thing. It just is the worst thing for me. I think about surgery sometimes. But then some wonderful woman, I can't remember the handle, but sent me this thing I wish I had ordered on Amazon where it's like kind of like a belt. So you don't have to hold your drains while you're trying to shower. Also, like it's a lot to manage when you don't have your hands free because you're worried about the drains or you're putting it up on something. Like maybe you have a shelf in your shower. If it falls, it like tugs. There is literally something that you can wear in the shower for this. And I just did not know about it. So I will link that below. But that would have made showering a lot better. But I had drains in for about 7 days, I'd say, before taking them out. And again, when you come home from surgery, the things that they tell you is like, you can't raise your arms. You can't lift anything. They don't want you to walk around too much. Lifting is really the biggest thing that you can't do. With a tummy tuck, you're not supposed to stand up straight. It's kind of like a C-section, like you're at an L because you don't want to stretch the stitches. With breast reduction, they don't want you lifting your arms. They don't want you reaching for or whatever out of the cabinet. Everything you need needs to be within like hip height around you. So when I got home, we had my little station set up with water, a bunch of medicine, things for like if you can get constipated. So I had milk of magnesium in case that happened. Coconut water for me was what I was staying hydrated, and a ton of protein, like protein, protein, protein. You need to have some protein after the surgery. So what we did like a few days before is made like, I make my bone broth a lot. Just, I've always done that when I was in my healing journey that like for my skin. And I think just, I had a holistic journey that I did a couple years back, which you all may know about, but I make my organic chicken broth. It's something I like to do. It should look like a jello once it's like done. But I had a whole tub of that, not tub, big pot of that, that we had made. And that's what I was sipping on along with coconut water to stay hydrated and regular water. And that was pretty much it for like the first, I would say, 3 days. And the pain was like, I was taking they gave me Tylenol and they gave you like oxycodone or cotton, I can't remember which one. And you can like you know, alternate with that. You're not allowed to do Advil at all. But I was able to manage my pain with those like few things. Just again, really sore and it looked wild. A lot of times after surgery, especially the first few days, if you've ever had baby blues, I feel like it's a little similar where you get home and you're like, what is happening? Or I'm like, you know, sleep deprived and you have this moment like you're in a diaper and you're like, oh my gosh, just this overwhelmingly like sensation around like, did I make a mistake? Not like your baby is a mistake, but like, what am I doing? Is this a mistake? Now with surgery, you really do feel like, did I make a mistake? You're all cut up. You look wild. The stitches and all these things are at its fullest of how bad it will ever look. And you look at yourself like, why did I do this to myself? Why? I can't move. I'm in pain. Coming out of anesthesia a lot of times can be like an emotional roller coaster and people get like just blues out of just coming out of anesthesia. So for me, the first few days I was pretty depressed. I was pretty, you know, I couldn't move. My girls were a little confused. Like it just, I had the same kind of sensations and feelings around my tummy tuck. So at least this time I had something to compare it to. And I was like, okay, I know this too will pass. And so around the fourth or fifth day, I started to feel a little bit better. And then hallelujah. The day of like, oh my gosh, I can do this is when you get your drains out, okay? So on the seventh day, he rose again. No, I'm just kidding. But on the seventh day, I think is when she took out my drains. I went back to the doctor. They took out my drains. She saw me day three after the surgery and then saw me day seven to get the drains out. And then it just kind of feels like a relief, like a release. Like you can move a little bit more. You still can't raise your arms, but I by mistake thought I could raise my arms because it didn't hurt. And that was a no-no. Like I got my drains out and like took a picture like, yeah, you can do anything. And then my doctor was like, what are you doing? You cannot raise your arms. You still really can't raise your arms for like weeks, if not like a month for real. Like you're not supposed to be reaching for things or grabbing like heavy things because you could accidentally drop it. The thing about the breast reduction surgery that wasn't like my tummy tuck is that I listened to my body. They told me to listen to my body for my tummy tuck. If something feels tight, don't do it. If you have a pain here, don't do it. Like you listen to your body with how mobile you can be. With breast reduction surgery, completely different. Your body might feel good or your pain meds might be kicking in and it doesn't seem like it will hurt to like lift your arm. You might feel like you have full range of motions, but there are stitches you can't see. With a breast reduction, there's like sutures and things on the inside that you can't even see. So stretching and out and like reaching could be messing up stuff that you're not aware of and you don't even feel like it's tight. So that for me was challenging to remember, like I can't lift and do things even though I feel like I can do it. And as a mom, we already want to do all the things and it's really hard for me to sit still. So couple that with, I'm starting to feel better. I'm hearing my kids like need things and all these different other things are happening around me. Like I'm in the house, but I had to remind myself, nope, unless you want to go through this again, stay seated. Like don't reach, just let people take care of you. And it's just something that I was very humbling and I'm very grateful for my hubby who was able to take care of me, which kind of brings me to the next point of recovery. You cannot have breast reduction and not have someone taking care of you, especially if you have kids. You have to have someone. You can't lift. I still can't lift more than 5 pounds, period. I said a month out, like maybe next week she might agree that I can lift 3 pounds, but I don't know how many weeks it'll be before I can pick up my girls. It'll be months. So if you don't have anyone taking care of your kids or whatever responsibilities you have, you do not need to schedule this breast reduction until you are able to have that. I mean, I felt very taken care of. Babe, how was that experience for you?
Not as bad as the first one.
Yeah, the tummy tuck was way worse. Yeah. Why was the tummy tuck worse? You left, I think, after like, I think a week or someone had to, I can't remember.
Well, it's much more of like a more serious of a surgery and you had the like was it the
faha yeah thing, I had a whole thing
putting that thing on all the time. But similar in the way that you were just down for the count and I was you know it wasn't too bad though. I mean
I think the girls are older now too with the tummy tuck. Girls were a year old, so there was that. Now the kids are toddlers, so I think the age of your kids you should really consider. Having a one-year-old and having surgery is a lot harder than having four-year-olds and having surgery in different ways. Like the girls are still toddlers and they require a lot, but they're able to do a lot. They can go to the potty by themselves. They can get dressed for the most part. They can let us know when they need things. They can walk up the stairs, like just stuff that it's just so many things that make life easier when you have twins, like little milestones. They've hit a lot of those. So I think that in general made it easier for you to manage all the things.
Still exhausting.
Still exhausting in completely different ways. But like just, I think, a different kind of exhausting, or maybe just a little bit more manageable. The girls told everybody in their school that I had boo-boos on my boobies. They came home with some cards, and that was pretty cute. But they saw me at some point undressing, and they were like, what the hell? Probably traumatized. I was like, yeah, I got boo-boos on my boobies. It's like, why did you do that? It's like, I can't remember what I said. Explaining to your kids what's going on, too, is something I don't know if I'm an expert on. But I told them that they were like, who did that? I was like, the doctor needed to do that because mommy was having pain in her back. And so I will heal. It looks really scary right now, but it's not going to be like this forever. And just like you get a cut on your, and Shiloh's had a cut. She's had surgery. Ever's had stitches on her head, like reminding them of what was like, and then bandaging it up and how it heals was kind of giving that comparison. Very different kind of bandages and healing, but they accepted that. And so now, even still, like it's a month later, they're like, do you still have boo-boos on your boobies? I'm like, yes, because they'll want me to pick them up. But they seem to be pretty understanding and accepting of the fact that I'm not fully everything that they need me to be all the time. And real talk, they're like heavy. So I'm like, y'all don't need to be picked up that much. I mean, you definitely still do.
Yeah.
They'd be asking dad to pick them up like at the same time. All the time. And like, that's pushing. I think Shiloh's 40 pounds. Ever's probably like 36. So yeah, that's a workout.
Yeah.
They'll be like, my legs are tired.
Get too far holding both of them at the same time.
But I think about that though, because at some point it'll be the last time we pick them up. And I think when I heal, I kind of want to pick up Jackson, just because I don't know when the last time I picked up Jackson was. You know what I mean? And I want to know, okay, this is really the last time I pick up my kid. I don't know. I think about that because there was a last day that I picked up Jackson and then I never picked him up again. And I don't remember what that was. It wasn't memorable, but at some point that happens. But again, like, you know, I don't be thinking about that when they ask me to pick them up now. I'm like, nah, y'all need to walk. Okay, what else? So yeah, the men were not, I talked about anesthesia blues. Yeah, that happens. The blues right after the part. The drains were the worst part. Okay, the men that were in my comment section when I decided to get a breast reduction were just not okay. Many of you might have found out that I was getting one because we went to Hooters. And that was funny. That was a really funny, embarrassing thing to film. So the way that all happened was, it was my OG, my assistant, my producer, Cammie. She was like, yo, you should go to Hooters for your last meal before your breast reduction. I was like, that is brilliant. And so then we just, like, the idea of it is brilliant. And then it was part of, like, time to execute. So it was 2 days before our surgery day. It wasn't really the last night, the final night before, because I had to fast. You can't eat before surgery. So it was literally one of the last meals, though, that I had. Walking to Hooters, I'm freaking out in the car. Ryan's with
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Me, like, what, how are you feeling? Like, we had mics. Like, things were going wrong, but like, would you say that I was like cool, calm, and collected as we were approaching, like walking inside of Hooters and me having to ask them to be in it and stuff?
No, you were freaking out. Like,
no, I wasn't. I was super
anxious and like, oh my God, what are we going to do? Should I talk to them? I'm not sure. Should I go in there? What should I say to them? What if they get in trouble? What if I'm not allowed to do this? Should I talk to the manager?
Yeah.
What should I do?
So, like, the thing about content creation is fine when it's just you. But when you do things in public or pranks and things like that, I don't see how people do that. But it's nerve-wracking, or if, like, you have to make reactions. I hate filming content in public no matter what, even if it's just me filming myself, like doing a dance at the airport. I do not like to do that. So now to have to actually involve people that don't know me, and there's a restaurant and patrons there eating, it just was a lot of stress walking in. And I was like thinking that I needed to get permission from the Hooters corporation before doing, I was just overthinking everything. So we finally walk in and I'm like, hey, I'm gonna be filming this TikTok. They're young. So I was like, they probably don't even know about it. They don't care about Instagram. So I was like, I'm gonna be filming a TikTok social media thing about my last meal at Hooters. And I was wondering if you guys would want to be in it. A couple of them were like, yes. Or one girl was like, yes, sign me up. And then the other two were like, yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it. I was like, cool. I'm going to go eat some wings. And then when I'm ready, just ask your staff if they want to do it. And that'll be great. And so I was excited. I was like, they're all signing up. That's cool. What have you. We're over there eating wings. Me and Ryan are filming little B-roll footage. And then our waitress is like, yeah, I'm excited. It's fine. Let me know when. And then as we're done or getting near to be done eating, to be like, okay, girls, let's start to film. Everybody backed out. No, nobody wanted to do it except for the one girl. And I was like, dang, what happened? I don't know. I'm a teacher. I don't really, what if my students see it on TikTok? I was like, yeah, girl, you should lead with that. That's totally fine. What have you. So then I had one girl that was able to do stuff. And as I think people started to see how my vibe was, or it wasn't that big of a deal, two others were like, yeah, we'll be in it. And so that's when you see the two girls, there's three girls waving and then looking at my boobs to wave. The one girl in the end was like, she was my G. She needs to be an actor. But she was like, sign me up. What do I need to do? Okay, I'm gonna look at your boobs. All right, let's go over here and pray. She was really all about it. And I think her confidence let the others be like, all right, we can be in it. And that was the final product. I'll link the video below in case you all didn't see it, but it did kind of blow up. And the slow run of the Hooters out after, there's a slow-mo running outside of Hooters that just I look at every time I think about do I regret my breast reduction, which I don't, but I think about the pain that big titty girls know with natural boobs, running hurts. And you can see the pain of the mobility of my large breast in that video. But that was the Hooters vid. And I feel I know we're kind of going off, but I think as a just paying, what is it, homage. I was gonna say homage. I always say the wrong sayings all the time. What do I say?
I think it's homage. I don't think you pronounce the H.
So I'm just, as a little tribute, whatever, to Hooters. It came to light. It was in the news maybe a week later. The Hooters is going out of business. They're going bankrupt, and it's a lot to do with Gen Z and younger dudes not wanting to, they want DoorDash and video games. And they don't want to go into a restaurant and see real women with real breasts because they can see that at home with AI. I'm making this up, but that is my assumption, that they don't have the people they're trying to go anymore. There's old dudes in there. There were a lot of old dudes, but there was no younger dudes. We used to go to Hooters in college. It'd be a fun thing. Nobody that was there, just the people that worked there. So, RIP to Hooters. And I hope that, this video, I feel it's really going to be a true classic and really land in my home videos for life.
It's really making a difference.
Because of that. Maybe Hooters stays in business because of my breasts. Anyways, okay. But all to say, the men were not okay with me getting a breast reduction. When I posted that video, there were so many dudes getting a breast reduction is slapping God in the face. Good luck. I'm like, okay, Henry from freaking Norfolk, Virginia, shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? I probably should get a video of all the comments and zoom in on these dudes' faces, because it was first of all, no. Why would you ever comment on someone else's body? You thought about this, one thing to think it, but you decided to type it to me on the internet for hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people to see. And then when I zoom in on who you are, do we really want to talk about physical things on other people? Buddy, do you really think you have a say in that? Nobody should care about my breast reduction except for my husband. Who, did you actually care? Actually, I should have asked you this. You were supportive, but what was your first reaction when I was like, I'm cutting my titties up?
Well, I mean, at first I was I wanted to know why you were thought it was worth it to go through that. And then once you explained it, and if it's something that is constantly bothering you, I think it's more important, or most important, if you're like, you know, happy and confident with yourself. I mean, that's the main thing.
Yeah. And then you get the best version of me.
Yeah. That's better than, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, don't go too crazy.
Yeah. I think you were like, well, how small are we talking?
I was like, don't get crazy or nothing, but if it's going to make you, you know,
right,
more confident in everything, then that's definitely worth
it. And just like less pain. Like I just want to feel better.
I mean, if you're in pain, I mean, hey,
yeah. But I think my boobs were, I know I just described them as like wildly different sizes and all these things, but for the most part, they were like, there wasn't, looks wise, you had no complaints, but also they just were like full, they were like nice looking boobs, right? Like I didn't have any stretch marks or markings or like wild things about them other than like different sizes, which I guess is kind of wild, but put on like a good bra, like people looked at my boobs all the time. They were still like attractive. It was a little bit, I guess, of a vanity thing, maybe because of the different sizes, but again, it was more the physical stuff. But I think even more so, like maybe that influenced you because you're like, wait, these are fine. You look good. I don't want you touching them. Where I think there's a lot of women too that have just their kids suck the living light out of them. You have like quarters in a tube sock kind of boobs, and that can be beautiful too. But you might be more insecure about it because they're just deflated. Mine weren't deflated. I just always wanted a breast reduction kind of thing. So whatever the reason of wanting one, don't have to justify it to anybody. Like in my opinion, I think that I definitely respected your opinion. I want to know it. And ultimately I knew you would support me. If you were like, no, absolutely not, I'd be like, okay, who did I marry kind of thing. But I knew that he was going to support me. And I just think I was surprised, not surprised, by how vocal the men were online that I don't even freaking know had like an issue with it, where my husband's like fully supportive. Like I was told like I'm making a huge mistake, like, oh, unfollow. I was like, please, thank you God, all y'all unfollow me, please. And why are you following me too? A lot of the dudes that follow me, I didn't know that many men followed me. They started to because of these viral like videos I do in the car of like throwback songs, but I was like a mom account, and these like recently I've gotten male followers, which I love. Come on in, just don't talk about my body, don't do anything like that, and you can be a part of the community. I welcome you, but not you, Henry from North Virginia. Okay. And then a lot of people are asking, like I had some DMs about explants, which is when you take your implant out, which I think I saw, I guess boobs are just out. Like, I mean, trends wise, if we want to think about like how you know you're a millennial or Gen X, I saw this video on TikTok of like, how you know you're Gen X or how you know you're a millennial, you have breast implants. And I didn't really think about that. I don't have breast implants, but I don't think that many girls are flocking to get boob implants anymore, like they did in like the Pamela Anderson, like Rock of Love. Oh my gosh, that is a throwback. Like, but those women, like those rocker chicks in the 80s and 90s all had huge boobs, blonde hair, like obviously fake. And that was like a look. People like that Baywatch vibe. Now I think people do inflate their breasts, but like it's a lot of times a fat transfer. It's not like an implant or something like foreign in your body. No shade if you have that, but I do think it can come with complications. So there is a new, like, there is a lot of people recently getting explants, which is taking that implant out. And again, if you have implants, I think around 10 years you're supposed to get them checked or adjusted or done something with them. So I think maybe we're at the age, like millennials are at the age of, if they did had implants, if they're at that 10-year mark where they need to do something with them, and whether that's upgrade them or take them out, I think that might be a correlation of why there's so many people getting explants. So I have a girlfriend who did an explant and with a lift. And I was using her as like an example of like, I would ask her a lot of questions about healing and different things. What I realized though very soon is that explants are slightly, I think, more like easier recovery than a traditional breast reduction. Because you've had the surgery, there's already like, you know, where to go in, and you're really just taking out the implant. And I think like that you can go through the nipple or something. There's ways to do that that aren't quite as invasive. And so the healing of an explant is going to look similar to a breast reduction, but not be quite, I think, as hard of a recovery. Still anesthesia, you'll go under. Still, you probably shouldn't lift your arms. But the recovery process, I think I was feeling pretty, I felt better after 7 days. I had the drains and things like that, but like I still am sore. I'm still sore right now to this day. It feels like I'm aware that I had breast reduction. With people who have gotten explants, they were like by 7 days, they could kind of feel a little bit better, or it wasn't like as painful like recovery as it is with a traditional surgery, breast reduction surgery. Another one way I want to like compare the pain, and I was telling other people this, and it's wild. If you're not a mom, if you didn't breastfeed, you're not going to understand. But the dull pain that you feel for months after your breast reduction, which I'm feeling now, is kind of similar to like when your milk comes in, or if there's too much milk in there, you know, that like hard, like not hard, but like just sore, dull pain. That is what it feels like to have a breast reduction once you're like healing. Not right after, it's way harsher pain, but like as you're healing, like a month out, there's just this constant like dull pain. It just feels like my milk is constantly coming in, and not constantly. I feel it sometimes more than others. Like if I am driving, the seatbelt kind of hurts it. And again, with driving, you're not allowed to drive for at least 10 days. So again, you have to have someone taking care of you because you cannot drive, because you can't lift your arms. Again, all the things that lift arms, you can't do with the breast reduction surgery. But now that I can drive, the seatbelt kind of hurts. Or I might be doing a little bit too much that day, me being too physical, and it feels like my milk is coming in. So if you're wondering what the pain feels like as you're recovering, that is like the only comparison that I have, which is weird because it makes me think that I'm pregnant. Like I have all these like weird phantom like thoughts of like, wait, am I pregnant? Is my milk coming in? But I'm not. And I'm like, okay, I'm good. So explants and implants are very different. They're not the same thing. They're similar. But I would say that if you're getting an explant, it'll probably be a little bit easier than for you. And if you're getting reduction surgery, don't compare it to somebody that's had an explant. Talk to someone that's had an actual breast reduction surgery. And then I think like with sleeping and things like that, like you have to sleep on your back. There's a lot of things that come with the surgery that were just inconvenient in the beginning. But I would say after 2 weeks, you can start like kind of sleeping on your side, patting yourself with pillows, you know, walking for longer distance. I still can't pull a suitcase. I can't reach up and grab like things that could break. I haven't gotten cleared for that. Again, I'm a month out, but I'm hoping to get cleared for those things like next week. But again, it's just a long, steady process. Another thing that happened for me that I did not realize was going to happen with surgery is that I was allergic to the antibiotic. And apparently everyone's allergic to this antibiotic. Not everyone, but when I came in and she saw all these bumps all over my chest, she was like, oh, which antibiotic did you? It was the topical one. Like it was basically a Neosporin, but it was one that they all recommended on her like sheet for pre-op and post-op. And I was like, I just did the one that you guys recommended. And she's like, yeah, I need to take that off the list. So I will link which one it was. No shade to them. But she said that most of her patients have had an allergic reaction to this. They don't know if they've changed the chemicals in it or what have you. But I had a really strong reaction. It was really itchy. And it was really hard to recover with that reaction within that first week or week or two because I had that. So I'll link that so you don't make the same mistake I did. But apparently it is one that does cause a lot of like reactions around the surgical, wherever you put this topical ointment. So everyone, I mean, again, you can run into complications no matter what you do. That's the risk with surgery. My only complication was the antibiotic. And I think like, because I knew what I was going to be expecting, because I had had plastic surgery before, that was helpful. But again, if you don't know how your body is going to react to anesthesia, you know, do your research. If you don't know how your body is going to react to like the surgical tape that they might use, do your research. I have a friend who we were recently talking back and forth about our breast reduction stories, and her body had an immense allergic reaction to the surgical tape or whatever they use to stitch you up. I'm not even going to go into detail about what happened to her because I'll scare y'all from never wanting to have a surgery. I'll let her share that if we ever have a conversation on it. But basically, think about if you were stitched up and your body's allergic to it and rejects it. So wherever you are wounded up, splits open. So remember what I described with the little W? That just tissue. Yeah. She described it as hamburger meat. Okay. So Ryan is like, well, you just said you were going to
get it. Exactly. Like, I'm not going to describe it, but let me describe it in detail. Real quick.
Let me stop. Okay. I'm not going to go into it any more than that. But when she said that, I was so glad that I had already had my surgery. So skip past. Just so you know, that is a very rare circumstance. I've had an amazing experience. I'm about to get into that. So now let's fast forward to me, like right now, how I feel. And do I think it's worth it? Y'all want to know about the cost. So without insurance, again, I'm in a DC area. So it depends on your surgeon. Are they board certified? Where you're at? Like LA, New York, probably DC, the Bay, they might be a little bit more expensive than like certain areas And, you know, the surgeon, if they're board certified or not, I recommend doing a board certified, especially with like breast reduction surgery. I recommend someone that knows their stuff. So I think my final bill, crap, I need to pay the anesthesia part. They called me the other day. It's hard because they give you different parts, but I think it was around 11K, maybe 10. It was around $10,000, maybe a little bit more, a little bit less. And I think she gave me a rate. So I'd gone in a year before to try and get it done, but then I like got scared and I didn't do it. So even a year prior, it was a cheaper rate. And so she kind of honored the first quote because she knew I had come in earlier. Every year it's getting more expensive. Again, I think with everything right now in this country, it's getting more expensive. So the longer you wait, don't quote me on this. Like yours might be expensive and that might just be because like things are more expensive. Medication's more expensive. Everything is, strawberries are more, like everything is going up. So, but that was a very, 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 very fair price. I think for what I was getting for where I am, it can range, I think between like 12, like somewhere maybe around like 10 or 9 to like 15 or so. Like it's normally not over $20,000 for a breast reduction, but again, it depends on how much you're getting taken out. All these different things are involved. And so am I happy with it? So when I woke up from the reduction, I was like, oh my goodness, this is way bigger than I thought they were going to be. I remember thinking like, wait, I wanted A's. Like I really did want A's low key, but my surgeon was like, girl, that will not look good on your body. I was okay, maybe B's. She's like, that will not look good on your body. Let's go for like a small C. But I woke up and they were like full D's. And like Ryan was like, Sis, I feel like you were happy. They were also very swollen, but she couldn't go smaller. Again, with breast reduction surgeries, they are manipulating the tissue inside and they're manipulating your nipple. They're making like a new one. So if it doesn't want to do, like if your tissue doesn't want to agree or your nipple doesn't want to agree, then they stop where it's at. And so for me, I was told my nipple was going quote unquote crazy, where it wanted to like look out to the side instead of going straight forward if she had made it go any smaller. So she stopped. And so she stopped on the one boob and then she made the other one match that. So I was around this D size. And that's with like the swelling. I think I'm probably like a full C now, which I love. When I take off my like bra, nothing moves. I don't have to wear a bra anymore. I do now because I'm still recovering, but everything is like, it's just wild. I have breasts that I now appreciate because I'm older. I probably had these titties at some point in my life. Probably had them when I was like, I don't know, 14, 15, whenever I did, but like, I didn't want them. I wanted to hide them. And I'm young. So you think, you know, you're fat when you're whatever, 16. I look at my 16-year-old self. I'm like, girl, you are fine. Shut up. You know, my 23-year-old self, I'm like, girl, you are fine. Shut up. Now I have what I would have had maybe when I was younger or pre-kids. And I'm like, yo, y'all can't tell me nothing. Like, I wasn't really about attention on my boobs. But now I'm just so confident that maybe you might see me having some attention on my boobs. But no bra is probably the biggest takeaway that I can say. I have never had that since I was little. And I can, and it's like, I can wear a tube top. And if I put on a strapless bra, it doesn't become a belt because I don't have to wear a strapless bra. And the girls that know, you know, you put on a strapless bra and it just starts, it don't even really do anything. It just starts inching down, and it's around your belly button. And it's a little bit of a belt. Okay. None of that happens. All right. My boobs stay exactly where they are. And that alone is amazing. And then like the literal weight that has just been lifted, like it's, I don't know how much she took out, but it wasn't like I got on the scale and it was like way different after, but it just feels different. My neck, my posture, it just feels easier to like sit upright. It feels different on my lower back. I have not been able to work out yet. I think that will happen in like the next 6 to 8 weeks. It takes a while before you can really work out again, but I'm already feeling like when I do, yo, let me go on a run. Okay. I won't have to put on 2 sports bras, right? Let me do a little jumping jack. Okay. And I won't feel the pain. I might pee on myself a little bit because, you know, I had kids, but let me do all those things. And I can already feel the physical difference that it's going to be. And that has made me in love with it. 10 out of 10 recommend at this point. And I haven't even fully healed. I think a lot of you also were wondering about like my scars and different things like that. And they're still healing. I know what my tummy tuck scar looks like. And so I'm assuming it'll heal that same way. But the breast tissue is different. Like I couldn't do a lot of the scar treatments that I wanted to do that I did on my tummy tuck early enough. You actually aren't allowed to do any scar treatment for like the first 2 to 3 weeks. You can't even touch it. And so she hasn't even approved me to do scar stuff, but I talked to someone and I'm doing like scar silicone gel, which I'll link below, which softens the scars. But I haven't put like any bleaching things on it to make sure they stay light, or red light therapy. All the things I used to do on my tummy tuck, I haven't been approved to do. So I'm not dealing with scars yet. They are very minimal on my actual breast, but on the sides, because again, you have these like W's, but then they extend out because that's where my skin was from my original breast to like almost like my bra strap line. And those are dark. So I'm hoping that I'm able to put things on them to make them lighter. I will be giving a second part to this, I think, maybe when I'm like 12, like 3 months out or something like that, to just give you a full update on how my scars feel. Do I have nipple sensation? That was another big question. I don't know if I have nipple sensation. I feel my nipples. Everything kind of hurts, so if I were to press them. So I don't fully know what that is yet. And I won't know until I think I'm at least like 3 months out, 4 months out. And I will give you all an update on all those things when I have it. I'm wondering if there's anything else, that I wish I had known before getting a breast reduction, or anything that you think would be helpful for people that are listening, babe, knowing, or even caretakers that would be taking care of someone that is going through this.
Nah, I mean, I don't think there was anything that was that crazy that was like, yeah, oh my gosh, I wish we had known this. It yeah. kind of went according to plan.
Yeah. Yeah, I think my biggest takeaways is like the lifting of the arms was humbling. I didn't realize I wouldn't be able to lift my arms for so long. The driving part is another thing that I didn't know. And this is like for someone that has gone through plastic surgery. Again, like if you haven't had anesthesia or any of that stuff, like you might be even more shocked about like what is all involved with a recovery like this. But yeah, and then also, oh, this is what I'll say about insurance. If you do go the insurance route, which this is another reason why I decided not to get insurance, is that they have a minimum amount that they need to take out, right? So you can't tell, let's say I went through the physical therapy and insurance was like, okay, you do qualify as someone that needs a reduction. This is how many, and then I would say, okay, well, I want this size. They'd be like, nah, you get in this size. So I think there's a minimum that they have to take out. So if you have like big boobs, like double D's or G's, you might have A's after that because they take out this amount. And if anything is under that amount, then they don't do it. It's not covered. So that's another thing with insurance, unless your boobs are very large, right? Very large, and you can easily hit that minimum to be taken out, then you are going to probably not be happy. You won't be able to be have autonomy with the size that you want. I think the other thing, what was it? I was just thinking about another thing I wish I had said. Boob size, taking out. You can't choose the size that you want. Okay, maybe it'll come to me and I can do it next episode. There was some, I can't, like, I'm mad. I can't remember it.
Just talk about something else. It'll come to me.
I know. I'll talk about something else. Boobs, Pamela Anderson. I feel like you weren't even a boob guy, though, too. It's funny that you had a thought about, but your people, the stars that you loved, your celebrity crushes were like the Aaliyahs, the, you know what I mean? And I always would think about that. Like, if you can't be a boob guy. Aaliyah is gorgeous, though. I think she exceeds, like, you know, maybe not having boobs, it doesn't matter with her. But yeah, I don't feel like you were even a boob guy before.
Right? I am now.
Now you are. I can't remember what it was going to be. It was boob size. You might get A's. Yeah, I guess it wasn't that important. Whatever it was, I'll figure it out. And I will either place it back in here or talk about it in a different segment. But here we are. I am now a part of the itty bitty titty committee. Not really. They're not really itty bitty, but you cannot tell me nothing about my boobs. I highly 10 out of 10 recommend. I understand what Jess King was telling me. I understand what every person that I've talked to about it was telling me. Oh, this is not what I was going to say, but this is something that I do think is worth noting. I'm still healing, but they are not the same size. And that could just be because one is healing at a different rate. One could be more swollen than the other. I'm still in the early stages of healing, but I asked that in my DMs and y'all said, yeah, my boobs aren't the same size, but it's barely noticeable. Again, mine are not the exact same size. Some people might be like, what the hell? You went through all that. They better be perfect. For me, it's not that big of a deal yet. You can barely notice, but I noticed. And I'll give an update on my part two on whether they healed at the same exact size. But again, breast tissue is very hard to do. That's why even with a woman that knows exactly how they're doing it, it can happen. So again, I don't know if my breasts are going to be the same size once we get down the line 6 months from now. But right now, I will say they are slightly different sizes. And that can be just like the healing rate of how they go. But even with different sizes, your girl is happy. My nipples are like at the sky. They're going to drop a little bit, but it's just, they're like new nipples too. You know, your areolas can do different things after you have a baby, and they are not that. They are just like these cute little nipples, which I like my nipples before, but I was like, okay. And I think the biggest thing I didn't realize after getting a breast reduction, I didn't know they came with a lift. Like, I just thought my boobs were going to be smaller. I didn't know they were going to be lifting the roof, raising the roof like they are. So when I got up, I was like, okay. Who is this? Like, they look like implants. And I think that was a big surprise that I didn't go into thinking I was going to get that. But when you get a breast reduction surgery, it comes with the lifting part, y'all. So note that. Note that part. Because that is what made me like, okay, I'm about to get some new clothes. Okay. But anyways, I hope this was helpful. Again, we will come back in a few weeks, months to talk about more about my scars, what they look like, how they're healing, the sensation I have, and any updates that I have further after, like, I'm at the 1 month right now, when I'm at the third month or whatever, when I know a little bit more about how my body's fully healed and how I've gotten back into working out or what have you that comes after your breast reduction. But I hope this helps. Try to get through all the things that would have helped me. But thank you for listening again. I will catch y'all in the next one.
And that's a wrap for this episode of That Twin Mama Podcast. But before you go, let me tell you how you can keep this village growing. First things first, are you subscribed? If not, what are you doing? Hit that subscribe or follow button wherever you're listening so you never miss a new episode. We're streaming on all major platforms, so let's make it official. Secondly, let's stay connected on socials. Follow us on That Twin Mama Podcast on Instagram for short form relatable content, and follow us on YouTube at That Twin Mama Podcast for entire episodes in all of their glory. And lastly, and this is a big one, if you liked what you heard today, please leave a review. Your 5-star love means so much to me and the team behind the scenes and helps us to keep going. It also helps us to find parents like you who need to listen to these episodes, which mean the world. So until next time, take care of you, take care of your crew, and remember, you're doing an amazing job. See you soon. Peace.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.